We have a couple of Harper's playgrounds, and we had the developmental disability program table set up, and we were able to collect contacts for folks. We were able to share that we're going to be starting the strategic planning process and wanted to be able to reach out to community members. Trish did an amazing job plugging all the programs and soliciting for board members when she could. So, and I learned how to make buttons, which, so new skill acquired. Bob, you want to add anything?
Well, yes, I also had that opportunity, but nothing beats having a child color their button and then come in and watch it suddenly emerge from that machine. I mean, that the face that they put out is just phenomenal. So it was a lot of fun. It's also an elegant space. I mean, I was surprised how many tents were set up for independent organizations, and we never felt crowded or any of that. So it was a lovely, lovely experience.
Yeah, it was a great resource there. So, and I'm looking forward to volunteering at Saturday in the Park, which is Vancouver, Washington's Pride event. And we will have the booth set up again there. And I think that's going to be a really nice... Oh, it's going to be at Esther Short Park on July 12th from 10 to 5 p.m. And so we will be... The county will have a booth, but then I'm also going to be volunteering at a booth for Southwest Washington educators. So anyone who's out and about should come see us. And we're going to be at the teacher booth. We will be making jewelry. So,
very
it's
cool.
An inclusive space.
Very cool. And Randy, did you have something you wanted to share?
I did. I've been very fortunate to partner with a couple of occupational therapists who are now doing equine therapy for neurodiverse kids at my ranch.
Cool.
In addition, I wanted to share, yay, my dream. So, in addition, I wanted to share that they are opening their new neuro-inclusive gym in Camas this Saturday. It's called Go Wild, and it is owned by Dr. Courtney McIntyre, and she is an amazing woman, and she runs the program here too, and she's applied to be a member of the board. So she's autistic, she's got her doctorate, she's an incredible, incredible human. So if you're interested at all in that gym, I'm happy to give you more information, but it's Go Wild in Camas. You can find it almost anywhere. So, and their clinic will be opening soon. They had to put a lot of additional soundproofing in because they were placed next to a gym. And the workout music and the bass beat and everything, we were coming into some serious issues, but through perhaps a little lobbying effort, we were able to get it fixed.
I too
will be at the Pride event, but I'll be volunteering for the Democrats of Clark County, because as you guys probably already heard, I will running for Charter Commission.
Yes.
So, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. We're going to see if we can turn Rush Prairie a little purple. But it's a nonpartisan election, so let's see what happens. And thanks, everybody. That's it for me.
Thank you, Randy. Anybody else have any input? I don't see a hand up on your phone, Darla. Just to tag on to what Amy said, not only is there an educational information coming up, there's also, if you happen to be swarmed by educators in Portland this weekend, the National Education Association is having their annual conference in Portland, Oregon. So there's like 7,000 teachers from around the United States convening at the convention center for the next, I don't know, 3 or 4 days? Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're going to be here for the 4th of July. All right. I'm not seeing any other community input. And so our first order of business is our 5-year comprehensive plan update. And we have a timeline review, and that will be brought to you by Trish.
Yeah, so I just wanted to orient us to where we are in the process of developing our new advisory, new 5-year comprehensive plan. So we are currently in the last year of the current 5-year plan, which runs through 2025. So our next 5-year plan will be 2026 through 2030. And I'm just going to pull up and share this timeline that I have developed with John Lund, who's helping me with the comprehensive plan process. So let me see here if I can share. Here we go. Okay, so there we go. Okay, so we have met, John and I have been meeting since, well, before February, but we have been working on this, working on preparing the materials to present to you all. We delivered, and we presented at the April work session. Yeah, we presented at the April work session. The letter, graphic, PowerPoint, the survey for input and feedback. We had a public meeting where we also presented the planning process and what that was going to look like. We had a PowerPoint that we reviewed and took questions and comments. Starting in May, we have started to begin our outreach into the community, meetings, presentations. Our idea was that we would be releasing the survey by then, but we have not quite finished the survey. We, at the last work session in June, was actually when we finalized the survey and the community presentations. So since then, we have been working on getting our survey translated. So we sent it off for translations. I think we've got it translated into Spanish, Russian, Ukrainian, Chukis, and Vietnamese. I think that those are the languages that we did. And other, you know, if there are others that would like to request a language, we're totally willing to do additional languages if we need to. So we're in the process of populating our online survey with those translated, the translations of the survey. And we are hoping that we can finalize that by next week. I'm working with one of my staff that has had some other priorities of billing towards the end of last month. So she's working on that now. I've been working with the public information office to develop a flyer for us. So that flyer will have a QR code, and that can be something that we're handing out and taking with us to events as we're doing the outreach. I'm going to show you what we have planned for the outreach, and if you all have other ideas for what we can do for that, then please let us know. I'll get to that in just a minute. What's that?
Got a typo.
Oh, feedback. Oh, thank you. Oh, my
gosh. I thought we were going to get back. Money. The people.
What? Feedback. No, no.
All about the feedback.
So starting in August, we're going to start collating the feedback. So as we're getting feedback, we'll be collating that. We'll be starting to begin the structure of the draft of the plan. Obviously, we're not going to be able to fill in the details until we conclude the survey, which will be by October 31st is when we're planning to conclude the survey. At the October work session, we're going to present what we have so far, what we've received to date, a summary of the feedback, and begin some discussions. Bob brought up some topics that we will need to consider for the new plan, and so those are listed there. Future uncertainty for universal supports, uncertainty around social isolation, anticipating the return of shaming or blaming the victim. So these are all things that we're going to need to incorporate into our plan by October. We should also know what the federal budget is looking like. We're going to be getting some updates on that. So there's going to be a lot for us to consider as we're going into our next five-year plan. We'll close the survey effective October 31st. We're going to be starting to send draft and send plan summaries to the advisory board. Those of you, so we will be presenting on the plan and what that's looking like. Those of you that are want to read the whole plan will be certainly welcome to do that and give us input and feedback. For the rest of the board that may not have the time or inclination to read the plan word for word, we will provide summaries for you. And get your input presenting the draft of the plan at the October work session, finalizing the plan later that month, and then in January, hoping for to be able to present the final draft of the plan for your adoption at that public meeting in January. And then starting in February, we would do complete the plan and do distribution. So, and completing the plan looks like sending it off to the public information office so that they can make us look like we all know what we're talking about, which of course we do, and they can make us look like we do. And they do a great job for us. And then thinking spring of 2026 would be when you all would meet with the county council to present your plan. So, and that's if we can get a work session, the council decides who they're going to give work sessions to. But that's the plan as of now. So, and we will certainly ask for a work session. Yeah, questions.
I was going to ask about that. So yeah. If they don't give you one, how then do we create one?
Well, they, we would send the plan to the council and say, here's what we came up with. Here you go. Versus in the past, what we've been able to do is, actually have an hour with the council, and what that hour looks like is a presentation that we work to prepare in advance, and you all or whoever is available and wants to work on and then help deliver that presentation will deliver the presentation to the county council. Mm-hmm. So
and then ultimately doesn't have to sign it?
Yeah, we do try to get them to sign it. Yeah, yeah, Mary always wanted to have them actually sign copies of it at that meeting. There. So, and really the purpose of that is so that they know exactly what we're doing and that, you know, if anything comes back later and says, well, why are you doing that? You know, it's like, well, here it is in the plan. This is why we're doing it. Yeah.
You saw our plan.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the time frame, that we're working with. I did also want to show you all, what we have. Oops. Let me just, nope. Oh, this is a draft of, one of our, I have a number of, flyers, with different photos. But this is the flyer for the comprehensive plan that the Public Information Office did for us.
So that one's not on your screen. You've got.
Oh my gosh.
And because you made the change, you need to resave.
Oh, thank you. Hang on just a second. Dismiss. I'm gonna stop sharing. Oh, I'm gonna reshare.
If you guys go to a remote, can't tell, Trisha's toggling between two computers.
Yes.
And sharing screens to either or.
Stop share. Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Susan, while we're Gabriella said this, she didn't get recognized for her hand being raised, but she wanted to talk.
Yes, I was just going to say, I'm just sure.
I noticed it and told.
Oh no, okay. Sorry.
All three of us were like.
Okay.
We saw you, Gabriella.
Yes, okay, so it sounds like Gabriella had a comment. I'll wait, I'll hold here.
Yes, okay, no worries. I think this combination of my internet and.
This is what she's talking about.
My delay internet.
I hear something with the audio there.
Sorry, my internet is kind of being flaky. I just wanted to share that, actually I'm going to send the flyer to Trish so she can share it with everyone. I send it to Bob. And, also I want to comment that, the Office of Attorney General, finally we got the headline for hate crime and bias for the state of Washington going. There are three counties that are the pilot firm for this headline, which is Clark County, King County, and Spokane. So you can share the phone number and the web page for people to call or go onto the web page to report any hate crime or bias incident. And I think this is big due to the actually what's going on right now in the country and what we're seeing everywhere, not only in California, but here we're seeing that in the county, in Clark County. And also for the 4th of July, we are supporting proclaiming the 4th. We have a series of events, and we have the meet at the roundabout at the waterfront on July 1st, so that's tomorrow from 6 to 7. And then celebrating with community at Marshall Park from 11 to 2. And a protest, which is also patriotic, on July 4th from 7 to 9. So I'll send that flyer to Trish and so she can share with everyone. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Gabriella. Sorry about that. I will. What was that?
It's no problem. I think it's my internet. It's delayed, so it's taking a while to process things.
Okay. So
that's fine.
Okay.
That's what my camera is off in hopes that it doesn't get stuck so much.
Okay.
Sorry.
Great. Okay. Now, hopefully, you can see. Okay, here are the draft flyers that we received from the Public Information Office. So this is what we will have.
Typo.
Where's the typo?
Development
disabilities. Okay. Well, it's a draft, so we'll get feedback to her. And the surveys will be collected through the end of October. So we'll get that cleaned up, hopefully. But this is the basic, the mock-ups. And we'll have these three different flyers that we'll be able to hand out.
Yeah.
So, and we'll make sure that the spelling is correct. Okay.
Oh, Randy has her hand.
Randy, yes.
Can we make sure that at least one of the pictures represents people whose disabilities are invisible? One of the things that's been really uncomfortable is when every person in a video about developmental disabilities, it's obvious to people because they either have Down syndrome or they're in a mobility device. We need to make sure that people understand that our population has both visible and invisible disabilities. So those pictures did not land well with me.
Okay, great. Thank you. Will do.
Thank you.
Good point. Speaking from a person who knows. Hi.
Okay, great.
I wanted to ask one quick question.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm getting through to everyone that's online. Did we want to put a copy of our legislative agenda into the 5-year plan? Is that something that could be done? Because it's already done. It's already formatted. And I noticed in the prior 5-year plan, there were pictures of documents that the advisory board had done. And so I was just thinking that, it might be nice to have what we spoke to the legislators about.
Yeah. I think that we could have some discussion about that.
It'd be nice, an appendix or something.
Yeah, either an appendix or certainly the topics and the details about that. I know that the advisory board, you all as volunteers can take positions on things. I as a staff person cannot, and I think that would be the only concern that I would need to kind of ask about is, you know, how would that be in the actual plan itself? So, I mean, certainly the topics and the information that you all are including in your priorities, I think would be great to have lots of information about that. I'm just not sure about if it's, you know, position statements or things like that. Yeah. Yes, hand, Randy.
Sorry, I'm annoying tonight.
No.
I'm out of the room.
Thank you.
What we can consider doing is instead of taking positions the way we do in our legislative platform, is we do principles. And that's usually how it's included. And it's not directed at one bill, but it's directed at these overarching principles. And we might be able to do it that way. They're usually included in comprehensive plans.
Great. So I made a note of that, and we'll come back to that when it's time to be looking at what goes into the plan.
There you go. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Any other comments, questions?
I did just want to talk a little bit about our outreach plans and to see if you all had other ideas, thoughts, involvement that you would like to do. Was there another comment? No, I am going to share it, but
okay.
Let me see here. I'm going to share. I'm going to try to share. Comp plan. Windows. When technology cooperates, it is a beautiful thing. Let me just close out some of these other windows and see if then it will.
Started my life just two new windows.
Okay. Yes, here we go. So, we put together the spreadsheet of a variety of events, opportunities, organizations that we want to reach out to. So some have already occurred. Amy and Bob talked about Harper's Playground and their day of play that we attended. We'll also be at the Pride Saturday in the Park. We're going to be sharing a table with our Human Resources Department, and there will be staff there from 10 a.m. at this point until 3 p.m., but I think that we've got people that will be there all the way until 5 o'clock. And the Peace and Justice Fair is another one. Peace Northwest has an International Day of Peace that they're hosting in September. Battleground has Pride. We will have staff from the Washington Initiative for Supported Employment will be there, and we'll be sending flyers with them. I will be going to People First meetings. I'm going to go to two meetings, one to kind of talk a little bit about the county and set the stage for then coming back to get additional input from People First. And for those of you that might not know what People First is an organization made up of self-advocates, people with disabilities, learning about and also advocating for services and supports in their own life. We've got back to school nights. We just have Kristen here because there's a variety of kind of back to school opportunities that we're usually invited to. So we'll be taking information about the comprehensive plan, so the flyer and the survey, to those nights as well. We've talked with Gabriella. We need to firm up what we want to do, Gabriella, to talk with the families that, Pasitos, supports. We'd like to reach out to the NAACP. We have connected with Danya Otto. She actually came and did a presentation at our all staff meeting for the department. She runs Sakura 39ers, which is an organization supporting the Chukis community here in Clark County. And I'm meeting with her next week to talk about just follow up and how we might partner and connect. We were scheduled to attend the Chukis Day of Cultural Unity and Proclamation. Unfortunately, that event was canceled. So they were planning a big event in Esther Short Park. That event was canceled. We'll talk to her about if they're going to reschedule or if there are other opportunities. She did mention that there are potentially some other opportunities where we might be able to join. Latino Community Resource Group, Angela participates in that in her work capacity and then in her volunteer. Does he need in or something?
No, I know him.
Oh, you do? Oh, okay. Oh, okay. and then outside of work in her volunteer capacity, she's on the board. So we'll get information out through the Latino Community Resource Group. And I understand they're not meeting right now, but once they do, hopefully get on an agenda to be able to share information about the comprehensive plan process. PICAWA is the Pacific Islander Community Association of Washington. So this is a statewide organization, but they do have some local representation here. So we would like to reach out to them. The Local Parent Coalition, Hattie, thank you. PEACE has a Building Independence Group, which is, again, people with disabilities. So we want to reach out to that group and connect with them about getting their input for the comprehensive plan. Fourth Plane Forward. Our developmental disabilities directors meeting. So our, the directors of the organizations that we contract with meet on a regular basis. So we'll be attending those. We want to reach out to the Southwest Washington Equity Coalition. Sydney, myself, and Michael Torres from our department are on the, are part of that group. And so connecting with them. The Community in Motion, which is a local transportation organization. They came and presented at one of our advisory board meetings recently. So reaching out to share information with their board as well and get input there. There's a Birth to Three Interagency Coordinating Council that meets on a regular basis. And so we'll be attending that meeting and talking, sharing information about the comprehensive plan process. And then there's just some bulletin boards that we want to reach out to. So Bridgeview Bulletin Board, Vancouver Housing Authority has a bulletin board, so we'll probably get some flyers up there. There's a lactating moms group that we're going to reach out to. The Division of Vocational Rehabilitation is hosting a summit event for professionals in the field. So Developmental Disabilities Administration, Division of Vocational Rehabilitation, county and county providers. This is a particularly important event because we have so many new professional types in working with people and families, people with disabilities and families. And this is an opportunity for those people who oftentimes work with the same people to get together, to become familiar with one another and learn about each organization. So we'll be sharing information there about the comprehensive plan. We'll be reaching out to DDA case managers. And I think that that's it. That's what we have for our list. But this is not in any way, if there's other organizations or others that you think we should be reaching out to, if you think of anybody right now, let us know. Yes?
I want to say the Spectrum magazine.
Yes. Ooh, yes. I just talked with John. I'm going to add that right now so we don't forget. I just talked with John about that at Harper's Playground. but it was like, hey, John, we need to talk. We got to take out some ads in your magazine. And he said, okay, cool. So, thank you.
And there's another, a place that my son received therapy for quite some time called Advanced Pediatric Therapies, APT. They have two locations, a Beaverton and a Vancouver location. And they always are supporting resources. So,
okay, great.
Lots of, you know, families use their the spaces. And,
okay.
I mean, go there for therapies. And they have a bulletin board with all kinds of resources on it. So.
Okay, great.
And Trish, I have a list of, like, the, mostly the Medicaid clinics for children.
Okay.
And then Richfield has a huge multicultural festival.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Yep.
Okay.
And I don't know if you know, but the ICC, the little guys, Tanya from Parent Coalition for Peace is the co-chair.
Oh, for the Ridgefield Multicultural Festival?
No, for the interagency.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I did know that.
It'll
yeah.
Be easy to
okay. Great. Okay. So if you think of others or if there are others, then please let us know. We want to, make as many, connections as we can. Oh, the other thing that we are planning to do is when we go to do the school board and the proclamations, you'll have a little talking point in there as well for y'all to just give a plug to the comprehensive plan survey. And we'll be doing those in September and early October. So more to come on those as well.
Yeah.
So lots of opportunities. These are, of course, anything that you all want to be a part of, let me know. Otherwise, we're going to plow ahead. And we view any connection that we're making as a good contact. We hope to be able to go and do presentations, but we will do short, long, share. If they'll share things to their mailing list, then that's great, too. We'll kind of go with whatever other organizations can give us. Gabriella, yeah.
Yes, thank you. I wanted to mention IWC, do you have any contact for the Vietnamese community? They also have children and young adults with disabilities.
Yes. We do know that there are people who speak Vietnamese, and so, yes, we'll have to figure out what that might be.
I have contact with them.
Oh, you have contact. Okay, well, then I will be contacting you. Thank you.
Then I don't know if you want to add special ed directors meetings that would be at the ESD or the Olborn In-Group used to have a big group over here.
I just talked with them. I just spoke with them at Carper's Playground.
Okay.
And they're not doing the conference, but they are still active and they've got a few things going on. So I did get their information. So
yeah, I definitely think as Kristen's trying to connect with back to school events, contacting directors specifically, and I think
their secretaries.
Their secretaries. But knowing that school districts have better, new and better ways to communicate with families with different, like, learning management systems that allow for, like, communication blasts differently than they have in the past. So that
okay.
might be.
That's great.
Even if it wasn't this, like, it didn't used to be an option, I don't see why it couldn't be now.
Okay.
I also think, obviously, if there's anything shared on social media, then, that's something that maybe board members could be able to, I don't know if everyone's on social media, but I think having just general social media sharing, and then if there was like a board outreach that says, don't forget to follow us online, like and share in your groups. So.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Randy?
Do we reach out to any foster agencies for foster kids so that whoever is taking care of them can know? I'm not sure the resources up here yet.
Okay. Yeah, Trish is typing all these ideas on her
I
computer.
I am typing it all in here. I'm not sure, well.
It's foster pool. So I'm a director. I'll get the information.
Okay, thank you, Gabriella.
You're welcome.
right?
Yeah, Bob.
I just wanted to say that when we were at the playground, I noticed that there were a lot of those grass signs, like, you know, vote for me type, where you could have a QR code separate from our table and say, oh, stop by the table down the way or whatever, just as a way to bring people to, because we might be in the shadows of the back end.
Yeah.
Sure.
Who doesn't want a good yard sign?
Yeah. We could do that. Okay.
Lots of ideas.
So I think that's all I had for today. And we're going to be coming back to do periodic updates as we go through and are getting input and feedback.
Can you send us the
timeline?
No, or the list of all of the agencies, because it sparked a lot of thinking.
Yep, absolutely. Yes, I will send that.
Okay. And so, Hattie's back with us. Okay. The final item on our agenda for the evening is a legislative update. And we've got Darla on the phone, and we've got Hattie here in the room with us. And so, I don't know...
Do you want to come
over? The owl's going to pick you up.
Yeah. Why don't you come over here next to, in between Amy and Sydney? That's where you get a microphone.
Yeah.
Actually, keep going.
In your wheelchair.
Keep going. There you go.
Sounds good. And my kids are out there, so.
Okay.
My husband works on the port, and he got a real train car.
Okay. Well, my husband's out in the lobby if you need to run interference.
Okay. If they need to come back in, they can too.
So hi, thank you for having me. I'm Hattie. I work for Peace Northwest. Darla is on the phone. She is able to say hello.
I can unmute you, Darla, if I can ask you to unmute. I can't unmute you. So, but if you can, there you go.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Darla.
Hi, thank you for letting me join by phone.
Well, thank you for joining.
Yeah, she's on vacation. She shouldn't be working.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thanks for being here.
Yes, she is. All right. So, the last time we met in May, there was a lot of kind of unknowns with the bills that hadn't been signed yet that were just kind of piling up on Governor Ferguson's desk, as well as the operating, the capital, and the transportation budget. Good news is everything got signed. Okay. Governor Ferguson signed a $78 billion 2025-2027 operating budget on May 20th. The budget included new taxes on electric vehicles, changes to capital gains and estate taxes, and some eliminations of certain B&O tax exemptions. Governor Ferguson also used his line item veto authority to eliminate approximately $23 million out of the budget. He also signed the 2025-2027 capital budget on the same day. And together, the governor and legislative budget, that's always hard for me to say, prioritized special education in the state, which was really great, especially with the huge funding deficit that we are facing. It actually added, out of the $78 billion, it added $775 million in additional funding for special education. A lot of that was done by removal of the special education funding cap, which aims to ensure that all eligible students, receive the educational support they need. It also increases the funding multiplier. That was Senate Bill 5263, which passed both the Senate and the House. It increased the multiplier to 1.16. It also increased eligibility of services, we also were able to extend eligibility of services through Senate Bill 5253,
which allows students who access special education to continue to go to transition program until the end of the school year of their 22nd birthday, because up until now, they had a lot of students were kicked out on their birthday, so even if school started August 30th and their birthday was September 2nd, they couldn't come any longer. So that's the state stuff. Does anybody have any questions before I move on to the federal?
I know that there was, so I've heard that there's 20% cuts to DDA central office and case managers are also being impacted. Do you know anything about that in the state budget?
I don't actually. I do know that, there was a lot of positions that were not filled for case managers and a lot of, it was a lot of like, so last year we got, in, I can't remember if it was a piece of legislation or it was in the budget where they were decreasing the caseload ratio. And so there was a lot of positions that were not actually filled yet. So they just cut that out.
Uh-huh.
And so it was like pretend money that they hadn't gotten yet, as well as they got rid of all of the other no service caseload.
Mm-hmm.
Case managers, which they hadn't hired for either.
Okay.
So I know that eliminated a lot of what was kind of at stake for them. But I do know that, or I don't know, but I'm sure that they will be facing some sort of, you know, job losses. But I'm not sure what that's going to look like. I don't know if Darla can add anything to that.
And there's,
that's what I've,
go ahead, Darla.
I'm sorry. That's what I've heard as well, is that what's been cut so far is just positions that had not yet been filled. And that they wasn't, people that had left, they wasn't going to backfill new positions. They wasn't going to fill that had been approved from last year. Exactly what Hattie had said, but they wasn't, actually letting anybody go at this point in time. If people were leaving, they wasn't necessarily filling some of those positions. It does, I know that the governor has requested additional potential cuts from the different, I can't think of what they're called, like, departments and administration, that he's asking for what would additional cuts look like. So when they, and Hattie will talk about this in a minute, but if they go into a special session, they can look and see what those additional cuts might look like, because they know that there's still some funding shortage that is out there.
I'm not sure how everything is shaking out with the union, but I do know that there were some positions that have been eliminated, but that the people in those positions may be able to shift into another position, and I think that that's all still yet to shake out what that actually looks like. I think that's all still happening.
Trish, were they people that was already hired that were, that their position is being eliminated?
Yes. So there's a position in the, employment and day program team that was eliminated. And I know that there's others too.
I think there might be some in the housing that's coming down. That hasn't happened yet. We've heard that it might be happening, but it hasn't been announced yet for sure that it's going to be happening.
In the DDA housing unit, is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know how much of this is budget related and how much of this is reorganization, but I imagine it's all related.
Correct.
Because there's that big DSHS reorganization. So now we are DDA, Developmental Disabilities Administration, is now going to be called, or at least the part of it that we're going to interface with, is now called Developmental Disabilities Community Services, which will be confusing for us because we are County Developmental Disabilities in the Department of Community Services. And what is formerly known as DDA will now be Developmental Disabilities Community Services. And then there's half of DDA that's going to be related to the institutions, and that whole group is going to be another part. Lots to come with what the reorganization is going to look like. And I understand, though, that there is going to be opportunity for some input and feedback from community folks as this all goes forward. But it sounds like some of it might already be going forward.
Yeah. Well, we've had the rector who's over whatever the new name is, I can't remember, what used to be Aging and Disabilities, the program that we ran, they rolled us into.
Well, isn't that developmental? Isn't that what Developmental Disabilities Community Services is going to be? That's what B is. The new assistant secretary.
Is over. It's had, what's it called? It's health and community
home.
What is it called, Patty?
Home and community living administration.
Okay.
HETWA.
Okay. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. HETWA.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, and then the disabilities is under the HETWA. So B has presented to us that she hasn't talked about any of the cuts, and neither has Tony or Chris when they presented to any of the groups that we've been at yet.
Interesting.
So, anyway.
That's a lot of we don't know.
Okay, yes, it is a lot of we don't know. Okay.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
And then are you going to, Darla and Hattie, are you going to talk about the legislator symposium too?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
all right.
I do have that.
Thank you.
I was going to also, before I move on to federal stuff, there are a couple things that are kind of exciting that are happening. So as of July 27th, Washington Senate Bill 5501 takes effect. And what this does is employers may no longer require a driver's license as a condition of employment or job posting unless driving is essential to the role. So this will absolutely open up more job opportunities for individuals with disabilities. And I mean, you know, everyone, quite honestly. So that's quite exciting. And then also for any of our students that are ages 14 through 24, the Student Potential Youth Advisory Council through Investing in Student Potential under the League of Education Voters is looking to get some youth advocates that have direct experience within the special education programs. So I don't know if I said the ages 14 through 24, and the term will start this month, and it will run until April 2026. Applications just opened. Well, it says please apply before July 1st, but they just reposted it because I don't think they got enough applicants. And there will be a $500-something stipend for the participation.
What's that, 14 to what?
14 to 24.
24.
And I can send out this link to you all if you have it.
Thank you. Great. It's a great group.
It is. I love it. I haven't done the youth one, but I want to get my son involved in it. He doesn't know it yet, so.
Have him apply.
$500
is a lot of money.
I know. I think that's going to be the trick. So, yeah, that's what I have for legislative stuff. We can move on to federal real quick. I don't know. Okay, so as you all have heard probably by now, yesterday the Senate passed So the Senate's passage of the budget bill will likely lead to significant cuts to Medicaid, funding potentially reducing it by hundreds of billions of dollars over the next 10 years. The bill is estimated to cut federal Medicaid spending by nearly $1 trillion over the next decade. So that's really unfortunate. This, as well as eliminating, you know, $1 trillion, they are putting a lot of stipulations, including work requirements for certain Medicaid recipients, mandating that adults either work, volunteer, or study a certain number of hours per month to qualify for enrollment, unless they meet specific exemption criteria, which I have not seen what that is yet. It also is going to require people to prove their eligibility more frequently, potentially twice a year instead of annually.
That's better than
what it was.
At one point it was monthly.
Yes.
And it's 80 hours a month.
Yeah.
The eligibility?
It's the 80 working hours.
Oh, working hours. Yeah. Okay.
This also includes provisions regarding state provider taxes, which are used to help fund Medicaid programs. So I don't feel confident speaking on, just because I do know that there is kind of a loophole that providers are able to take advantage of right now to kind of backfill the low Medicaid reimbursement rate. And if providers are going to do that, they're not going to get the reimbursement rate from Medicaid, is my understanding. And as we all know, Medicaid providers are few and far between, and this is absolutely going to affect the number of providers that we have. It also is going to affect rural hospital funding. So according to Governor Ferguson, 31 rural hospitals in Washington are at risk of cutting services, 18 are at risk of closure, and 7 are at immediate risk. The budget also reduced food assistance and increases food insecurities. Significant cuts to the SNAP program by nearly $300 billion over 10 years. Increased work requirements for SNAP. It also reduces SNAP benefit levels, so the amount of benefits that people are currently receiving will likely go down. It also reduces access to affordable housing by cuts to HUD rental assistance programs, loss of some housing assistance for seniors and people with disabilities. The proposed cuts could mean some elderly people and people with disabilities currently receiving assistance, they would lose them. And so even though all that's horrible and overshadowing, the bill does include minor funding increases for HCBS waivers and extends some tax advantages for ABLE accounts. Those are the two positives I've been able to find.
What do they do for ABLE accounts?
It says it extends tax advantages for ABLE accounts.
Okay.
I don't know exactly what that means.
They're really already pretty good. All three of my kids have ABLE accounts. They're already very good on the tax side of things. So, if we can get better, I guess, but it's already pretty flexible.
Now, since the Senate did just pass the bill, it will have to go back to the House to be voted on one last time. And we have two legislators, or not legislators, two congressional people in Washington State, Dan Newhouse and Michael Baumgartner. One is Yakima Tri-Cities, that's Newhouse, and the other one is Spokane. Their districts will be the most impacted. They have the most, you know, people on Medicaid, and they also have all the rural hospitals that are at immediate risk or in their districts. Mm-hmm. And then also this was an action alert from the ARC, sent out about there's 12 Republican representatives that sent letters to Republican leadership that they cannot and will not support a final reconciliation bill that includes any reduction in Medicaid coverage for vulnerable populations. And I have a list that I can share, that they're asking to call and write and say thank you and please, like, remember what you said 3 months ago.
So can I just add in, this is going to be, work requirements to make sure that our population, depending upon how it reads, right? Some of it is reading that frail individuals, right? So if they're determining that individuals that qualify for the, DD services are frail, right? I don't necessarily think that all individuals that qualify for DD services are frail. And so really depending upon how they define that, it's really going to depend upon what those work requirements are going to look like and how it's going to impact the individuals that we work with. And so many of the individuals we work with are not working at 20 hours a week. And if they lose Medicaid, they lose all of their DD services.
Right.
And then they lose their supported employment. They lose their residential services. They lose everything. And so it's like, okay, what do we do and how do we support them around this?
I didn't see your pen, Randy, that you just held up. Delta Tango.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but maybe somebody can.
Foxtrot Delta Tango? Randy, you explain it because.
Is it an acronym?
Yeah, no.
Oh, I don't know what it means.
It means F. Donald Trump.
Oh. I didn't know that.
Those are just not the words.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. All right. Hattie, anything else on the federal? Okay. All right. That's enough. Yeah, that's enough news. Can you talk about the symposium? Because maybe that's a hopeful thing.
So in the middle of June, Darlene and I had the opportunity to go to the National Legislative Symposium on Developmental Disabilities that was coordinated by Representative
Jamila Taylor.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah,
Her name just...
Yep.
And she did a fabulous job getting speakers and national legislators from, across the nation. Here into Washington, we were up at CTAC, and the first 2 days, so the Wednesday, Thursday, it was just four legislators, and a lot of it was them getting a lot of information about the history of disabilities and what other states are doing, and somebody came and did a big presentation on the state of the states. And a couple of people did presentations on no state wait lists, like states that have waiver services and funding for, all of their people. And it was just a really great opportunity for legislators mm-hmm. to learn from each other and share ideas. They had some action steps. Each one had action items that they took away, and they have committed to meet with each other quarterly to, you know, check in and see how things are going. And all of them are either currently in a developmental disability sub-caucus, I don't know what you call it, subcommittee, or they have committed to create one, which is super great. And then on the last day, Friday, we did a statewide kind of community stakeholder conversation with the legislators and national people that stayed over, and then as well as a lot of stakeholders, self-advocates, parents, professionals, from across Washington State. We had some amazing speakers. We had Darla told me that he is the, you know, the special education attorney, Bill Durso, who helped create, you know, I don't know the numbers, if Darla's able to pop in. What is it, House Bill 9 that created
Public Law 90.
House Bill 90. House Bill 90, which was the precursor to Public Law 92-142, which was the precursor to IDEA, mm-hmm. which of course is the federal, special ed law. But House Bill 90 was what, passed in Washington State, which then rolled forward into the federal law, but it happened in Washington State because four moms in Washington State went to the governor and said, how come our constitution says public education for all, but our students with, but our children with developmental disabilities are not allowed in school? And that's what laid the groundwork for House Bill 90, and then rolled forward into House Bill 92-142 on a federal level that then became IDEA and gave us special education not only across the country, but also in many places across the world. So.
Yeah.
Yay to those four moms who got irritated and went to the governor.
I was all fired up after listening to him speak. I was like, I'm ready to sue everybody. So he shared that he was a Washington State law student at the time, or a University of Washington law student at the time. And he said that the four moms came and kidnapped him and another law student and said, you're going to help us. And what a dynamic team.
Isn't that amazing? That kind of innovation that has happened and came out of Washington. And really, it does have global effects. I mean, the Philippines based their special education and really their education system on the United States. So it really is global. Yeah, it's amazing.
And then we had people come and speak from the University of Washington. We had one of my favorite, was Dr. Stan. No, that wasn't her. She was good too. Dr. Sandra Jewell. She was talking about human development and disability, and they got really into the weeds of like all of their technical research that they're doing. So this one I was going to say was my favorite. Dr. Joanne Wowiak, I think is how you say her name. So she started, her presentation was called What Does Eugenics Have to Do With It? And she did a really, it was brief, but it was pretty detailed for what she was able to get into about different studies that have happened, different reports and things that have been done for people with disabilities, and specifically, like forced sterilization. super interesting. And then she did an update on the Lakeland Village records, which in 2023, I believe there was a bill passed about preserving at Lakeland Village when they, I think when they closed, they must have found like a ton of records, photographs and documentations of patients that were there all the way back in the late 1890s. And she said like she has never seen anything like so substantial. And so she, her and her team are going through and seeing what will be preserved and figuring out what needs to be retracted for patient privacy and what needs to be shared. And she said that it will be the largest, you know, preservation of documents of its kind that is able to kind of track the history and what, you know, what actually happened to those people living in the institution. So it's really, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it. It's really neat.
Wow.
So yeah, it was great. I saw Trish, I sent this to you. I sent all of the links, but it said it was too large. So I think I'm gonna have to do like a Dropbox and
okay.
send it to you.
All right.
And we can happy to share it out.
We can do serve you maybe or okay. something. Yeah, we can figure it out.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. All right.
Well, that's kind of a hopeful note to
yeah.
end the day on,
yeah,
I think.
I think it's supposed to be completed by the end of this this calendar year. So.
Yeah. Randy's got our hand.
We also got the most current data from the state of the state. It's even more current than what's on their website. So they were teasing out the most current data that they had gotten from across the nation, and they hadn't updated their website yet, but they had brought it to the symposium and shared it with the legislators from across the nation and gave it to us. So we have access to all of that data. So
will you share that with us?
As a data nerd, I would.
Yeah, that's.
Pardon me?
That's in here.
Oh, that's in that big email you were trying to send?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. I really get them
off. Yeah.
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 Randy's got a question.
It was awesome. It was
Randy's got a question.
The most hopeful thing that's happened in a long time.
Yeah.
Randy had her head up.
Okay. Randy.
Thank you. Speaking of eugenics and that, was there any mention of the Health and Human Services Secretary creating a list of everyone diagnosed with autism and what was going to be done with that?
No.
Did anybody bring that up?
So what we've heard on that, Randy, is Ari, what's his name, Trish? Ari Newman, who is the head of the autism self-advocacy organization on a federal level, met with him, and what he was wanting to do, this is my understanding, is what he was wanting to do is gather the data without any identifying information. So it's really not much different than the data that's already gathered. But the way that he shared it and the way he spoke was really poorly done. And so Ari, who I have a whole lot of respect for and I trust immensely, was not worried about it after speaking with him. And so that's what calmed me down about that whole scenario of that,
that
list.
Well, thank you. As a Jewish person, the idea of lists, I mean, this is literally the way the Holocaust started.
Right.
They made a list of the people with disabilities, so it's a very frightening situation. Ari happens to be a Hebrew name, so I'm keeping my fingers crossed that he knew what you were talking about. Yeah, it makes the Nazis that live in my intestines go crazy. Thank you for the update, Darla.
Mm.
And Patty, you're
welcome.
All right. Do we have any other questions? I'm not seeing any hands. All right. anything for the good of the order? Well, thank you all for being here. Enjoy your evening, your longest evening of the summer after a board meeting. And we'll catch you next time. Your meeting is adjourned.